This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome. Thank you for joining us for Grace Alive, a broadcast ministry of Grace Emmanuel Church located at 707 Kitterman Road in Port St. Lucie, Florida. The sermon you'll hear today was recorded during one of our Sunday morning services. As you listen, if you have questions about the sermon, text us at 772-205-6552 and we will reach out to you with a text or phone call. Today, we listen to message number 4 in a series titled The Truth, The Whole Truth, and Nothing But the Truth. We all want people to tell us the truth. We ought to speak truth. Why? Because God is truth, and lying rejects who He is. Because truth is His nature. Things like Amendment 4, which seeks to make abortion a right for any reason at any point, are based on lies. Failing to stand on God's truth regarding this horrible thing will result in the deaths of the innocent. Join us now for this message from our pastor, Sam Chess.
The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And we're going to dig much deeper, biblically, we're going to dig much deeper into this subject, the second half of this message, and then all next week. We have this huge illustration in front of us that we've been looking at for the last 3 weeks. We spent the last 3 weeks exposing and defining the purposefully deceptive lie that's showing up in your ballot November 5th. Still people say, I have no idea. A lot of people don't have any idea that this is going on. 64 days from right now, you will be asked to vote on Amendment 4. Many, many people, Bible-believing people, people who really do believe what the Bible has to say, are completely unaware that they're literally forever changing future trajectory of their children and grandchildren's lives. It's literally on the ballot 64 days from right now in your state. But a whole bunch is changing. A lot you don't know about. A whole bunch has happened in this last week. Stuff I need to tell you about today. So I'm going to take a few minutes of this sermon to kind of bring you up on that. And then when we launch into the subject of truth versus lies, we'll refer back a little bit to that. But let me just give you three things here in rapid succession. On Thursday, former President Trump came out with a statement suggesting that he thought the present six-week ban was a bit restrictive and suggesting that he might vote in favor of Amendment 4. He is a resident of Florida, after all. He immediately got calls from friends, probably a whole bunch of them. I know he got a call from Marjorie Dannenfelser, his friend, the president of Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America. That's them right there together. I wasn't there, but I can imagine the conversation. It went something like this. Mr. Trump, respectfully, you have no idea what you're talking about. Respectfully. This Amendment 4 doesn't extend a six-week ban by a few weeks. This amendment completely wipes out all restrictions on abortion, opening up gruesome late-term abortions right up until the moment of birth. This amendment wipes out the present parental consent laws for a minor. No more will a parent have the right to consent or not consent. This amendment wipes out the present laws demanding the oversight of an actual physician, and I'm imagining the conversation, but kind of having some sense of how it went. Mr. Trump, your unthought-out statement today is contrary to everything you have ever said you believe about abortion up to this point, respectfully. I'm paraphrasing, of course, because I don't know what the conversation was like, but it was close. The very next day, Friday, this week, Friday, Donald Trump said, I've decided I'm going to vote no on Amendment 4. I can't support late-term abortions. Check. That's one. That leaves 22.24 million other people in this state that very much need to get this word. And a whole bunch of you are so involved. You've been back there at our table. You're taking stuff out. You're giving it to people. You're letting them know the truth about this amendment that's on their ballot, and I say, bless you, bless you, bless you. There's a bunch of free resources. We have a whole bunch more on the way. Now, let me give you a couple of brand spanking new things. Very exciting things that happened this week since we were in this room 1 week ago. We're going to get deep into scripture here in just a little bit, but hang on. These are very important winds that are going on right now. They're unfolding right underneath of you at the very end of the sermon last week. I said I'd been contacted by Ed Dackert of Life Ads Ministry. He's an 82-year-old man. He lives in Palm City. He had amazing ministry. All these signs you see on 95 and the Turnpike are part of that ministry. He wanted to know if we would partner with him to put up a No on Amendment 4 message on a new digital billboard at the rear entrance to Universal Studios in Orlando. You all provided the $2,000 we needed instantly at the end of the service last week. That gives us half the payment for 8 weeks. Leanne Muscanera worked on the three images that you see on these signs out here to get them ready for a billboard. Because these are digital boards, two-sided digital boards, you don't have crews out there stretching vinyl. When you get ready, you push a button and boom, there they are. We're supposed to go up on September 4th. Instead, they pushed the button on August 28th. We got 9 days free on the billboard. And here is this is a webcam. This is kind of hard to see because these guys put up webcams here to keep watch over their boards. But you can see the rotation, and show those next pictures if you will. The rotation, these are the boards that are up right now, shining 24 hours a day over top of 5922 Turkey Lake Road. We have some good pictures from the ground now, but didn't get them in time to get them up there. Right till election, these will be shining over tens of thousands of eyes, and you guys made all of that possible. By the way, Lamar Billboards, that has 363,000 billboards across the United States, threw up their hands and seemingly said, we don't want to be part of this Amendment 4 stuff, and then had a sudden change of mind and opened the door and said, we're in, bring them on. And that's exactly what you see right up there. So, and then the next thing, we've talked about this being not a political issue, this is a deeply moral issue. It's part of a spiritual battle for the soul of our state against sin and Satan. And these big wins are really important because it lets you see what God is up to right now, what's happening in this battle between good and evil. And many people are so unaware, they have no way of being aware. So that's why I'm telling you some of the things that unfolded this last week. Okay, so here's what happened. After the amendment received approval to go on your ballot, the State Financial Impact Estimating Conference, why do they have such long names? I have no idea. Issued a report on how much it's going to cost the state. Here's the cost of the state. And they said it's going to be expensive. This amendment's going to cost the state a great deal of money. The ACLU immediately sued them. This was about a month ago. Sued them and said, I'm paraphrasing again, I'm really good about that. You can't say all those things about our wonderful, deceptive constitutional amendment. The FIEC appealed it to the appellate court. That was about 3 weeks ago. And I heard about it and said, well, we don't know how this thing's going to come out. Appealed to the appellate court. It went from there to the Supreme Court about 2 weeks ago. And 1 week ago on Friday, I knew it last week, but wasn't sure enough, only saw it in one source. 1 week ago on Friday, the Supreme Court ruled almost unanimously, not quite, one vote against, that not only would they approve what the estimating committee has said, but, watch this close, but the financial impact statement has to appear right under the amendment on every single ballot. That's huge. There's no way to say how huge that is. We just happen to have here for you. I'm not sure how clear it will come out because we got this from the governor's office. Yeah, not bad. Gotten it from the governor's office on Thursday morning at 11 o'clock. Paul McConkie got this picture. I want to show you what's going to show up on your ballot. This is really important. It changes everything because here's the amendment. Here's the introduction. Here's the amendment. Here's the yes and no. And I've been picturing this yes and no right here, which is where it was supposed to be. So people would read this very, very deceptive amendment and immediately go to yes or no. And not knowing what they were doing, push yes, because the title says amendment to limit government interference with abortion. That's a lie. We know that's a lie. This has nothing to do with limiting government. In fact, it increases government interference. Here is the amendment. And the first 9 words are really the amendment. No law shall prohibit, penalize, delay, or restrict abortion. Boom, that's it. That's really what it's all about. No law is going to ever restrict, and it's a constitutional amendment, so it overrides every law on the book. Watch, before viability, which is undefined, here. Nobody knows what that means, but then the or afterwards wipes that out anyway, or when necessary to protect the patient's health. What's that mean? We've been over all this. Nobody is sure. Nobody can be sure. It will be solved by lawsuits. As determined by the patient's health care provider. No longer a doctor. Now we're talking about 56 different categories of people in state law that qualify as health care provider, including your tattoo artist and your audiologist and your chiropractic physician and your chiropractic helper and a lot, whole lot of things. And then this was supposed to be a definition sentence. This amendment does not change the legislature's constitutional authority to require notification to the parent or guardian before a minor has an abortion. Again, a lie, because that's not what the law says. The parent has consent, 48-hour consent. They wipe that out in place of notification, a simple email to the parent saying your daughter is right now having an abortion. All right, that was it. Up until last Thursday, that was it. And then yes or no, until the Supremes got a hold of it. And here's what they put in. Here it is. This is two sentences, 49 words. This is 133 words, six sentences. And it will be on every single ballot. The proposed amendment would result in significantly more abortions and fewer live births per year in Florida. It's the first thing they're going to read after they read the amendment. The increase in abortions could be even greater if the amendment invalidates laws requiring parental consent before minors undergo abortions and those ensuring only licensed physicians perform abortions, both of which will happen after a couple of lawsuits. No parental consent, no physicians have to be there. Now, this is new. There is also uncertainty about whether the amendment will require the state to subsidize abortion with public funds. Your tax dollars going to pay for, that's what just showed up. Your tax dollars going to pay for abortions. Even Medicaid going to pay for abortions. And it will happen. Everyone that I talked to this week said it will absolutely happen. And then two sentences saying this is going to cost us a whole bunch of money. It's going to cost this state a whole bunch of money. That all goes on. Every person who's going to look at that 50, whatever it was, 64 days from now, is going to read the amendment, 49 words, and then read their way through, at least part way through, that before they get to the yes or no at the end. That is a huge win for the kingdom of God. And that is a huge loss for the kingdom of Satan. Can you imagine how angry the ACLU is? I'm just enjoying that thought. Now that's enough about that for the moment. I really want to focus on the lying part of all of this because the whole amendment is built on a complete lie. We've looked at that. We're at the point, this next 2 months, where two of the five amendments on your ballot are completely built around lies. We now live in a culture where lying is normal. Is it not? Most of us don't believe half of what we're told politically, do we? Because people have developed the habit of looking into the camera and telling a complete lie. We've been watching some of that this last week. A candidate says, this is what I believe. People looking on say, but we have you on tape multiple times saying you believe the exact opposite of that. And now that you're running for office, you suddenly say you believe the opposite of what you've expressed many times in the past. What are we supposed to believe? But the problem is, we've come to expect that in our modern society. We don't even call it lies anymore. We say the person is disingenuous. And actually, that word means, I'm just not telling you the whole truth. You're disingenuous. But it's so much more than that. We could use the word disingenuous maybe with Amendment 3, the recreational marijuana amendment, where we are just conveniently not being told about the main issues that every other state that has passed that amendment has found to be true, like decreased workplace productivity, increased harm to marriages and families, impaired educational learning, threats to workplace safety, increased pollution in public places, etc. They're not telling you that stuff. So we could say, well, you're not telling us the whole truth, so that's disingenuous. Amendment 4 is not disingenuous. It is a 180-degree lie from one end to the other, and the end result is to terminate the lives of a living embryo in the womb, stamped with the image of God, already alive with the breath of God, giving the person a soul while still in the womb. It's in your face lying. In your face lying. But we're used to that. We're used to being lied to. We just kind of assume it's just part of the society in which we live. Something as simple as the ads we watch on TV. How many of you watch 50 ads on TV and you only believe 5 of them? Because you know you're being told something that's not true. Please listen to this. Please listen to this. A society that is increasingly tolerant of lies is a morally declining society. There are a lot of elements that show up in a morally declining society. But interestingly enough, God puts lying at or near the top of the list of what sends a civilization into decline. Here's author Austin O'Malley, long dead, been dead some years. Those who think it is permissible to tell white lies soon grow colorblind, and every lie is permissible. In fact, he also famously said, the perjurer's mother told white lies. I don't know who needs that one. Maybe somebody. I told you I went through the entire Bible last week, and I pulled out every reference to the word truth, 15 edited pages of scripture in the Bible about truth versus lies. And I've been reading those over and over again. I've been reading through them. And it really is startling, the vivid line that God draws between truthfulness and righteousness and untruthfulness or lying and what he calls evil. There's this very strong line between the two parts, truthfulness, righteousness, untruthfulness, sinfulness, or even evil. As God's beloved people, Israel, were pulling further and further away from their covenant relationship with God, and that's the last half of your Old Testament. God talks to them about their idolatry that was ripping them away from their special relationship with God. And we've talked about that many, many times, the idolatry that they just couldn't seem to let loose of. But do you know what else God said was tearing them away from him and him away from them? It's something I really haven't thought that much about before. God says, you are ripping apart my covenant relationship with you because of your lying tongues, God says. Watch this. I'm going to show you. It's just so vivid, you just can't miss it. During the latter parts of the Old Testament, we can hear God's frustration building as he talks to his dearly beloved people, the children of Israel. Here's Jeremiah 7:28. Say to them, this is the nation whose people will not obey the Lord their God and who refuse to be taught. Truth has vanished from among them. It is no longer heard on their lips. That's one verse. Here's 8:6, Jeremiah again. I listen to their conversations and don't hear a word of truth. Is anyone sorry for doing wrong? Does anybody say what a terrible thing I've done? No. All are running down the path of sin as swiftly as a horse galloping into battle. 9:3, my people, God says, my people bend their tongues like bows to shoot out lies. They refuse to stand up for the truth. They only go from bad to worse. Watch. They do not know me, says the Lord. My people, liars, they don't know me, says the Lord. Jeremiah 9:5, they all fool and defraud each other. No one tells the truth. With practiced tongues, they tell lies. They wear themselves out with all their sinning. Can you hear God's frustration? And oddly, it's not here about the little carved idols of wood, stone, and metal. What could be worse, Sam, than the carved stones of wood, stone, and metal that these people were worshiping? I think this issue of truth versus lies, good versus evil, which is the line God draws, goes far deeper on, maybe far further up on God's sin list than what we tend to imagine that it does. Here's Micah 6:12, your citizens are so used to lying that their tongues can no longer tell the truth. Zechariah 8:17, don't scheme against each other. Stop your love of telling lies that you swear are the truth. I hate all these things, says the Lord. I hate them. I despise this thing of a lying tongue. God only says he hates 7 things. This is one of them. It's very interesting that God seems to say that a nation's decline and eventual judgment comes from its relationship with the truth, or lack of relationship with the truth. But we need to understand why that is. Why is God so insistent on people being truthful? Why does he care? Here's why. Let me show you. Because truth is not something God has to furrow his brow and figure out. Truth is not something God has even a little or a lot of. Truth is who God is. God is truth. All truth comes from God. He is the source. Truth is what God declares it to be, and only what God declares it to be. That's where truth comes from. Because he's the source. He's the author. He's the ultimate standard. He's the final judge of what truth is on the earth. When Pilate asked Jesus, "What is truth?" Jesus took it a different direction for his purposes, but the answer from Scripture is clear. God's truth. Period. Period. When Jesus responded, "I am truth, I'm the way, I'm also the truth, because I'm God." Do you not understand that, Mr. Pilate? I'm God, God's truth, I'm truth. And he even said, "When I leave to prepare a place for my followers, I will send the Holy Spirit, and he will be the Spirit of truth. He will guide people into all truth because he's me, I'm him, we're God. God's truth, that's us. We're the source of all truth." The Bible, the word of God that I am and will be inspiring, is the word of truth because it's the word of God. That's it. That's where truth comes from. There's no other source of truth. There's no other pathway to truth. There's no other way to figure out truth. Truth is God. God is truth. I'm it. God is Holy Spirit. We're truth. Everybody get that part of it? So when Israel is walking away from truth, speaking lies, living lies, promoting lies, they weren't just expressing an opinion. They were rejecting their covenant-making God of truth. They were rejecting truth. And a rejection of God as the absolute source of truth, according to Scripture, doesn't just move one from thinking one way to thinking another way, from one opinion to the other opinion. It moves one from righteousness to unrighteousness. When I move to untruth, I'm moving to unrighteousness. It moves one from good to evil. It moves one from being led by God to being led by Satan. And I'm going to show you that in a minute. It's so clear in Scripture, the line that God draws in Scripture. Again, we don't tend to think about lying as all that serious. Everybody lies. No, actually, they don't. That's kind of the point that we're being taught in the Bible. God is the source of truth, and lying is a rejection of his character. It's who he is. And when we say truth doesn't matter, we're saying God doesn't matter either. That's what made Jesus go after the Pharisees so strongly. That whole John chapter 8 passage, we looked at a lot of it last week, but Jesus is saying, "I say only what I've heard from the one who sent me, and he is completely truthful." Of course he is. He's the God of truth, and so am I, Jesus is saying. But then he points his finger probably at the Pharisees because he really is letting them have it. Remember John 8? And he says these words, "You Pharisees. You Pharisees, on the other hand, who paint yourself as citadels of truth but live lives that are in total defiance of the God of truth. You Pharisees are the children of your father, the devil." What an amazing thing for him to say to the leaders. And they were not just the religious leaders. They were the political leaders of Israel at that time. "Your children are your father, the devil. You love to do the evil things he does." He was a murderer from the beginning. He's always hated the truth. He's always hated the truth. Why? Because he's the opposite of God. God loves truth. Satan hates it. Hate it. Hate God. Hate his children. Because there's no truth in him. When he lies, it's consistent with his character. For Satan is a liar. Remember the opposite. Now we're talking about the opposite. Satan is a liar. God is truth, all truth. Satan is a liar, the exact opposite of truth. He is the father of lies, the anti-God, the antichrist. See the line? In the sand, children of God become followers of the source of truth. That's just literally the way the Bible presents it. And those people who choose not to follow the source, capital S, source of truth, follow another source, small s, that's not God. It's not like we're given a whole bunch of options here. Truth, lies. And that's not how we tend to think about the subject of lying. Nobody, certainly not we as Americans. Everybody lies. No, they don't. Those who consistently lie as a way of life are exposing the one who's calling the shots. I'm just saying.
We pause briefly to welcome those just joining us. You're listening to Grace Alive, a broadcast ministry of Grace Emmanuel Church in Port St. Lucie, Florida. This is the fourth message in a series titled The Truth, The Whole Truth, and Nothing But the Truth. When God's people lived life by God's truth, they enjoyed the blessings of that. When they rejected truth and rejected God, they drifted into evil. And the innocent suffered for that. If you have questions about the message or you'd like us to pray with you, text us at 772-205-6552 and we will reach out to you with a text or phone call. You can also send us a message through our website at graceemmanuel.com. Use the Contact Us tab at the top of the page to send us comments, questions, or prayer requests. Now, let's return and listen to the rest of this message from our pastor, Sam Chess.
So when we see people set up an amendment to terminate babies in the womb, right up until birth, and then they build the whole thing around a lie, they build their entire amendment around a lie, the truth of who's in charge is glaringly obvious. Whenever something is built completely on a lie, you don't have to wonder where in the world it's sourced from. When a financial impact statement seeks to bring light into the darkness of the Amendment 4 lies, and high-paid lawyers are mobilized to snuff out the truth at all cost, it's not hard to see the exposed claws of Satan, is it? Is it? You know exactly who is in charge. And that's just one example among thousands of lies that we live in and around all the time of those who have attempted to bring a once God-fearing country to their knees, grab us by the throat with untruth. Think where we are as a nation based on what we just said. In 1944, which I wasn't alive for another 30 years or so, but that's a lie. Chess, you're lying in the book. Pub- 96% of Americans said they believed in God. Last year, 2023, that number, according to Gallup, was down to 81%. And that seems like still a high number. But remember, that's the people who express a belief in God. That's not people necessarily who are living out their faith or walking in the truth of who God is or what he says so clearly. And 31% of those under 30 now list themselves as having no religion. And that 31% are moving quickly into the center of leadership in our country. And that's not something that should shock us. It's laid out step by step by Paul in Romans chapter 1, which is where we're headed here. Romans chapter 1, it's uncanny how much that famous Romans 1 passage can be set down like a template, not just on this country, but on Europe and any country. And we do understand by now that as culture moves further and further from God, they are automatically moving further and further from truth. The two are the same. So you can't move away from God without moving away from truth. And what happens to a culture when it abandons God, when it abandons truth? What happens to a culture when it abandons truth? And I'm not thinking so much about like the Egyptian dynasties or the Babylonian Empire. They were so pagan. They didn't have much of God's truth to abandon. And they dissolved under the weight of their own wickedness. But I'm thinking about Israel, God's chosen people, who were formed with the truth of God pulsing through their spiritual veins, but eventually dissolved as a nation and were gone for almost 1,900 years. I'm thinking about the UK that was once the cradle of Christianity, led great worldwide revival, sent missionaries out all over the world. Today, Bible-believing evangelical Christians in the UK make up 4% of the population, 4%. And I'm thinking about the pilgrims coming over here and forming a nation specifically to fling open every door for the worship of God right here in this country, our founding fathers. We became the cradle of Christianity that was being let loose by Europe We sent missionaries out to the farthest points of the planet. We saw the first and second great awakenings where the streets of New York and the streets of Chicago were filled with horses and buggies all on their way to revival meetings and prayer meetings. Traffic jams. We set off the great Sunday school movements that traveled around the world. That was 120 years ago. Today, Bible-believing, born-again evangelicals make up just 25% of this country. Still a huge number compared to Europe, but it's falling rather rapidly. But I'm definitely not on the side. I'm not in the camp of those who say, the Bible says things are going to get increasingly bad at the end times. I've heard this just in the last couple of weeks. The Bible says things are getting increasingly bad at end times, so we need to just gather our brood around us and hope that we can make it to the end. No. 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 Ephesians 6:11. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand, so that you can be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Emphasis on take your stand, not hiding off in a corner somewhere. I wrote a book on end times, so I kind of know a little bit about what to expect in the not too distant future, but I am increasingly saying no, no. We do not just sit back and allow Satan to stomp all over our once God-fearing country. If Satan plans to try to steal our religious freedoms, which is exactly what Amendment 4 is attempting to do, if Satan is attempting to steal our religious freedoms, he's going to have one blowout of a fight on his hands. Does anybody agree with that? We're not going to allow our religious freedoms to be wrestled away without a whole community, a state, a nation hearing our battle cry against the evil one. Because here it is, chapter 6, verse 12. Next verse, Ephesians 6. We're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but we are, and I included this because it's the opposite of this. It's implied in the Greek language. We are fighting against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. The key here is we're fighting. We're fighting them, but we're fighting. We're not sitting still somewhere. We're not supposed to be. We're not hiding off in a corner, although some are. We're not supposed to be. How do we fight? How do we fight? 2 Corinthians 10:3 lays it out for us. This is from the Holy Bible, not something Sam's making up. We're human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We're not going to do that. We're not going to fight in our own power. We use God's mighty weapons, dunatos from dunamos, where we get our word dynamite. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons. What are we going to do with them? We're going to knock down the strongholds. We're going to knock down the fortress, the prison, the stronghold. What are we going to knock down? What are the fortresses? What in the world are we fighting to knock down? What are you fighting to knock down? Here it is. We're fighting to knock down ungodly human reasoning. We're fighting to destroy false arguments. We are. This isn't somebody else. We're fighting to destroy false arguments. We're fighting to knock down faulty human reasoning. Five, we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. And then I put the NIV in here because this is rather familiar. We demolish arguments, every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Almost everybody teaches that, where the last sentence is suddenly turned inward and I'm taking my every thought captive to make me obedient to Christ. That's not the context. It's talking about me taking captive every thought of them. Everything in that sentence is talking about I'm fighting them. I'm taking captive every thought and making every thought I come up against obedient to Christ. So says the Bible. However, we got to understand the battle that we're in. We're warriors, onward Christian soldiers. Here's the battle. It's so spelled out in the Bible. And Paul defines it 1970 years before you live. He wrote this, or at least described it. Let me read a chunk of Romans 1, and then we'll unfold it, okay? We're not going to get it all done today. Romans chapter 1. Watch this. It's like you can take it and set it down as a template over top of our society today, or Europe can take it and set it down over as a template over top of them. Here's the way it reads. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. This is a key statement here. Suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. We'll get back here in just a second. 21, although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God or gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their heart to sexual immorality. And then it goes on. We're only about halfway through it. But we'll stop there. We'll get there. We'll stop there. And let's go back. Let's talk. The wrath of God. The wrath of God. We're not talking here, in my opinion, we're not talking about a cataclysmic wrath of God from a snorting, angry God. We're not talking about an angry God at all. We just celebrated that. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't walk around with red cheeks. See, it's just not who God is. John MacArthur suggests it's the wrath of abandonment. And I agree with him. I agree with him. God says, okay, if that's what you want, it's not what I want. It's not what I've chosen for your life. It's not what I plan for your life at all. But I'm going to let you choose your own path. And many people do. They choose their own path. They choose poorly, but they choose their own path. And the Bible describes them as godless and wicked people who purposely decide to suppress the truth. And as we now know, God is truth, so suppressing truth is suppressing God. It's shoving down. In fact, they're purposely extinguishing God from their life choices. That's who's being described here. And the illustration that comes next is perfect for our world today. It could come out of a modern textbook today. The illustration that Paul wrote almost 2,000 years ago could very well be just as modern as it could possibly be today. Paul says, everything everybody needs to know about God is screaming at you. It's talking to you. You can't miss it. We did a whole series here, just finished, on the glory of God. You look up at the sky at night, David said, the heavens declare the glory. You can't miss it. It's shouting at you. God's intricate design is shouting at you. Walk out there and look at his creation. It's shouting at you. My goodness, in this very highly technical world that we live in right now, we could go to human DNA inside of the human body and see a written, intelligent language inside of every DNA strand inside of our body. Here's the problem. They all can see that. That's not hidden from people. They can walk out there and look at a leaf on a tree and know this wasn't made by chance. Here's the problem. All humans have rationality built into them. Even though we fell, and we did, even though humans fell, we're still made in the image and likeness of God. And we, all of us to some degree, have this rationality inside of us that comes from the image of God. We innately understand not to step in front of a car on the road. There's just something in our mind that says, that's not really that good of an idea. Although I did it once as a kid, which is, explains a lot, does it not? Hit me hard. We get the fact that if we cut off a finger, we grab the wound to stop the flow of blood. It's automatic. Nobody does anything other than that. You don't look down and say, there's my finger laying there on the ground. See, reason is based on cause and effect. Rationality says that if something is happening, if something's in effect, there's a cause. There's a cause. Something caused it. It didn't just happen. there is some cause. So it is irrational to say. It's irrational to say. Paul's saying this. It's irrational to say nobody plus nothing equals everything. Look out there. Nobody made it. Didn't start with anything. And somehow in billions of years, we have an entire universe that is intricate in design. Nobody plus nothing equals everything. The irrational. Nobody can rationally say that's true. The complex universe is the result of chance and a lot of time. It is the highest level of irrationality. Now, I mean, put in the word insanity. You can do with that what you want. It's the highest level of insanity to say the entire universe came from nothing by chance. That's exactly what Paul is saying almost 2,000 years ago. Paul is saying that, looking at all the evidence for a divine creator and saying that there's no God is a special form of human irrationality. You can't look at what's out there and say, don't think it came from anything intelligent. And God is saying, though, you're not really that irrational. You humans aren't really that irrational. You are instead purposely suppressing the truth by your wickedness. You're purposely stuffing a visible God out of your line of sight so you don't have to see him. You've made a decision in your mind. You can look at the intelligent design in this universe, and then you can stuff it, and you can say, I don't believe there's a God. In fact, not only can you do that, but then you can say, I'm the wise one, and everybody who doesn't agree with me is the fool, which is exactly what Paul then says. Romans 1:21, although they knew God, they had every bit of evidence they needed to know God. It's there. It's staring them in the face. They neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. We're watching it all around us. And then this, although they claimed to be wise, they became fools while calling everyone who doesn't agree with them the fool. And I like to use Richard Dawkins. I hope you don't mind. I hope Richard doesn't mind. Actually, I don't care if he minds or not. Here's what Dawkins said. Faith is belief without evidence and reason. Is it? Faith is belief without evidence and reason. Coincidentally, that's also the definition of delusion. He wrote the book called The God Delusion. And what he's saying is, you knuckle-dragging people who believe in God without any evidence and any reason, and what God is saying is, no, Richard, you're the guy that has the evidence and are ignoring it. You're the guy that can clearly see the truth, and you're saying it's not truth, Richard. You're the delusional one. Richard, don't you wish you knew what that green man was all about? So let's go there. It's so curious to me that Richard Dawkins says he doesn't believe in God. He says he thinks Christians are delusional, yet he spends all of his time trying to disprove God. Why? Why? And the whole green man thing is about, I don't believe there are green men from Mars on this earth. But not one time in 36 years have I ever preached a message or even put a single sentence in a message trying to disprove little green men from Mars. If they're not there, we don't talk about them. If God doesn't exist, Richard, why are you making him such a subject of conversation? All your life, everything that you ever do. So, the interesting twist about those who are irrationally godless and are suppressing the truth. The people crafting Amendment 4 know they're lying. They know they're lying. They purposely hired lawyers to make it acceptable to those who don't understand, with no definitions, so that it would be most likely to be accepted as truth, even though it very much isn't. And I told you the Marijuana Amendment has 3 pages of definitions. The Amendment 4 has none, zero, zip, until the Supreme Court got a hold of it. Now it has 6 sentences. But what is more stunning to me is that they crafted this lie because they actually believe that Floridians will be better off if every woman is able to get an abortion right up until the day of the baby's birth. They actually believe that. This quote on the back screen, the most dangerous liars are those who think they're telling the truth. They believe that. There are actually people in this state, and I think there are irrational people, who honestly believe that a parent should not have the final say in whether or not their minor daughter has an abortion or a sex change operation, but that's another subject altogether. They actually make sense to them that an unknown government employee should make a life-changing decision for a minor kid and her mother, and that somehow or another that's rational. It's not. They think themselves to be wise, they become fools. And there are people who actually believe that taking a doctor out of the equation, performing a dangerous major procedure like a late-term abortion, makes perfect logical sense. That's irrational. That's not normal. I even say that's insanity. That makes no sense. It makes sense to them, but it doesn't make any sense to me. And I'm saying because they've stuffed the truth and they're left with thinking they're wise. But we have to bring down the fortresses. Whose job is it? It's us. It's us. It's our job. And that's just what I'm giving you several things to do over the last few weeks. It's our job to go out of here, visit the table out there, get all the stuff you can get free of charge, put it up everywhere you can put it up, go visit people, hand out the handouts. You got to tell people. Everyone, all of you that are doing this are telling me, I talk to person after person, they don't have any idea what Amendment 4 is all about. We got to tell them. We got to pull down the fortresses. It's our job. And when we get to November 5th, we're going to watch this thing go down in flames. We're going to watch this thing go down in flames. Yes? By the grace of God, not because we're great, but because God is. Yeah? Father, we're really, really calling on you. We're going to do a lot more praying between now and November 5th because we do believe that a very active attempt to take away our religious liberties is afoot and destroy our children is afoot. And by the grace of God, we have been given a task to pull down the fortresses. It's our task. It's not optional. It's something we have to do. So God, once again, give us that calling. Give us something that just can't not do it. Just will not stop until we see justice and righteousness prevail, and truth prevail, and lies be put away. God, give us that great grace in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening today. God has equipped us with his armor so that we can stand against such a great evil as Amendment 4. If you don't stand against it, the innocent will suffer. We invite you to join us for some discussion about the message. With us are Sam Chess, Senior Pastor, Kevin Pierce, Pastor of Outreach and Evangelism, Mitchell McGar, Pastor of Student Ministries.
I have never before this series taken the time to really look at what God says about truth versus lies. And so I pulled everything in the Bible on truth, 15 pages eventually was of edited single-space scriptures. God really cares a lot about truth. I mean, really does, draws a distinct line between truth and lies, says, I don't like the lying part that comes from your father, the devil. And truth, of course, comes from God, the source. And when Israel, again, I hadn't seen these particular verses before looking at it closely, but you have something like Jeremiah 9:3, when Israel is starting to stray so far from the truth, my people bend their tongues like bows to shoot out lies. They refuse to stand up for the truth. They only go from bad to worse. They do not know me, says the Lord. He equates lying as a way of life with not knowing him. Or the Zechariah 8:17, don't scheme against each other. Stop your love of telling lies that you swear the truth. I hate these things, said the Lord. So he's very decidedly putting a line in the sand. Then when we get to the New Testament, we get to this Romans 1 passage, we get phrases like suppressing the truth by their wickedness. This is a big deal to God. When we take truth, we know what it is, which is what he's saying in Romans 1. You know what the truth is. The evidence is there. You've simply chosen to suppress it. But let me give you a couple more here. Romans 2:8. He will pour out his anger and wrath on those who live for themselves, who refuse to obey the truth and instead live lives of wickedness. See that line in the sand? refusing to obey the truth moves you to the other side of the line. Or let me show you 2 Thessalonians 2:10. This is looking forward toward the Antichrist will use every kind of evil deception to fool those on their way to destruction because they refuse to love and accept the truth that would save them. Verse 12, they will be condemned for enjoying evil rather than believing the truth. You see how God paints that line in the sand. It is such a big deal to God that we, his followers, be people of truth. We be truth tellers. We love truth. We don't in any way support the lack of truth. And so when we find things like this Amendment 4, where people are so clearly building something on a lie, it doesn't take a theologian to figure out where the source of all this is coming from.
As we've interacted with people about this horrible Amendment 4, we've noticed something. We've noticed that so many people know nothing about it. This would mean that they would walk into a voting booth in November and decide something so critical without any knowledge. Most of us won't buy a small appliance without research, yet we will vote on something that could result in the killings of millions of unborn human beings, harm to their mothers and fathers, and could even result in the judgment of God falling on our state. Some will say they are pro-choice, yet not really understand the choice. They believe a lie about choice. Truth is critical when lives are at stake. Some will be deceived by the intentional lie that this is about stopping government interference. But don't we want the government to interfere to stop the killing of the innocent? Some will be racked with guilt and shame over a past abortion. And this guilt and shame will cause them to not act at all. They may vote yes or not vote at all. The solution for all of these things is truth. Every one of these issues is addressed by truth. We want you to know that here at Grace Emmanuel, we want to give you truth. Specifically, we want to give you truth about Amendment 4. We want to equip you to stand for truth on all things, but especially to be able to talk to your neighbors and your friends about Amendment 4. We want to give you truth about God's great grace to fully redeem and free you from past choices. Choose truth. Lives are at stake. But more than that, victory is available when we stand on truth.
Romans chapter 1 really puts it better than I could ever put it. So I'm just going to read parts of it. Verse 18, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. So suppressing the truth doesn't mean truth doesn't exist. Truth exists. Truth will not bend the knee. But godless people are still planting their wickedness and evil in their ideas and their constructs and their concepts. And we as the church must fight back. We must be found faithful in God's sight and in God's eyes. Being silent is not an option. It's not. We must be found faithful in God's sight. And yes, actions are important, and our personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is important, absolutely. But out of that should overflow a desire to uphold righteousness, to defend truth. And the truth that we have, when it's received, it results in worship. And when it's denied, it results in judgment. And the depraved mind refuses to receive truth. But that doesn't mean that we stop proclaiming truth or heralding truth, because ultimately, truth is a person. His name is Jesus. And he lived the life that we could never live, and he died the death we should have all died. And we must proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, the whole counsel of God, as Paul says in the book of Acts. And honestly, when we get toward the end of Romans 1, one of the most terrifying verses in the entire Bible, but it's true. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity. God gave them over. Why? Because there's free will. And God desires to be worshiped. But ultimately, if you desire to not worship God, he will give you over to your sinful cravings in life. He's grieved by it. He doesn't desire that. God doesn't desire that any would perish, but all would come to everlasting life. But that's what we're seeing now in our nation, is it not? God giving people over to their sinful cravings and desires. and their hearts have turned to sexual impurity. We see that everywhere we go, but I want to leave with this encouragement. Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So even in the midst of the trial and the storm, he will prevail. And he's using us to speak the truth and speak it in love and to speak it in the public square. Let it be. Heavenly Father, that's my prayer, that we would be faithful to what you've called us to. We will be found faithful in your sight. And a huge part of that is proclaiming your truth, heralding your truth everywhere we go and with everybody that we meet. And I pray that we would do this in love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you again for listening today. If you're struggling because of brokenness over abortion, there's healing and forgiveness. There is freedom in Jesus. If we can help, please text us at 772-205-6552 and we will reply with a text or phone call. You can also go online to graceemmanuel.com and click on the Contact Us tab. Victory as a Christian is only possible when we're connected to other believers. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to join us Sunday mornings at 10:40 a.m. Our church campus is located at 707 Kinderman Road in Northport, St. Lucie, just west of US 1. For more information, please visit our website. Our pastor has written several books designed to help you grow in your faith. The titles include Unmasking Revelation, Heaven, Spiritual Warfare, Jonah, and Peter. Please go to samchess.com. There you will find a brief overview of each book and a link to Amazon for purchase. Grace Emmanuel is a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing, fellowshipping church with ministry to children, youth, young adults, families, and our seniors, all making up a wonderful family of believers called by Jesus to follow close, to love well, to serve strong, and to reach far. Please contact us if you have been harmed by abortion. Please contact us if you are pregnant and in crisis. Please contact us if you wish to be equipped to stand for life and truth. And please visit with us soon.
This is Sam Chess from Grace Emmanuel Church. You've been listening to the Grace Alive radio broadcast. You can listen to our program Fridays and Saturdays at 2 p.m. and twice on Sunday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. right here on WCNO. Please join us and let us study together.
This is Jane Rule from Grace Emmanuel Church. I'm excited to tell you about our WANA program taking place every Wednesday from 6:35 to 8:15 p.m. Awana is a Bible-based discipleship program with a fun mix of games and scripture memorization, providing an enjoyable environment for children while they learn the Word of God. Our program is for children preschool through fifth grade. If you would like more information about Awana, please call our office at 772-489-9696.
Christ is my firm foundation.
Through your vote no on 4 on Election Day, you can prevent abortion from becoming the law of the land in Florida. Amendment 4 is not what it seems and way too extreme. Vote no and prevent the reversal of all the preborn life-saving progress of 35 years. Go to TooExtremeForFlorida.com for more information and please vote no on 4.
Please listen to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael every Saturday at 3 p.m. for encouragement from the Holy Bible for life's journey. Thank you.